So we've been in a series called How Faith Comes, using Brother Hagin's Bible Faith Study course for that. We just go lesson upon lesson. We get done at 8 and just pick up where we left off. So that's what we've been doing. Real quick, kind of the text for this series, go over and turn over to Romans 10, verse 17. We'll read that and then we'll move on. Pick up where we were at last week. So let's see, you're going to Romans 10. Why don't you go ahead and find a few more verses while you're turning. So go to, put your finger in John 20, and then we'll go to Romans 4. But you can find Romans 4 easy from Romans 10. So just keep your finger in Romans 10 and go to John 20, and then we'll go from there. All right, everybody find Romans. Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you go up just a little bit further in verse 14, it says, verse 13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they might be saved. No, shall be. This is in any area. I mean, this is called. This is talking about salvation, but in any area, when you call on the name of the Lord, he will do what he said he would do. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So it says, how are you going to call unless you've believed? How are you going to believe if you haven't heard? And how are you going to hear unless somebody proclaims or preaches? So this is a sequence here. Verse 17 then says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So you can't believe, or you can't call on God unless you believe, but you can't believe unless you've heard. And so we need to hear the word. There's areas in our lives that we're not calling on God because we haven't heard. We don't know. Because he'll do what he said he would do. And people in ignorance cry out and say, "Well, why didn't God do this or that?" Well, we ought not be so quick to question why he didn't do something. It may be that we didn't know something. You know, people give up on God because when they were 11 years old, they prayed for something and it didn't happen, so there's no God. I've heard stories like that. Well, instead of concluding there was no God and you did everything perfect, we ought to show some humility and say, you know, maybe I had something to learn. Maybe I didn't do it perfectly. Why do we assume it's always on his end? I mean, he's the God of perfection. So we have to hear. That's how faith comes. You don't get faith by hearing somebody give their testimony. You don't get faith by seeing something. You get faith because God said something, and then believing it is faith. So you hear something and you have a choice. Faith is going to come, but you have a choice as to whether you're going to act on the word. And it's a choice. Did you hear me?
Yes.
See, this is a misunderstanding among Christians. People think faith is like a feeling. It's absolutely not a feeling. If you've been in these services, you know that's absolutely what it's not. It's not a feeling. It's not going by your senses. We're going to talk about that some more in a minute and compare and contrast some different examples in the Bible. But people think you have faith that's like this rush. Like you have goosebumps. Like you feel something and then you have faith. No, that's walking by feeling. You can have all the feeling in the world and not be in faith. And if you're waiting for the feeling, what do you do when the feeling goes? Is God's word still true? See, it's a choice. If we can get a hold of this, you'll be way down the road. Because I would say a lot of Christians, even people that have heard the word in certain areas, are still there. They don't believe that it's a choice. They are walking by sight and by feeling. And so when they feel good, they think the word's working. When they feel bad, they don't think the word's working. They think God's left them. Well, that's not how faith comes. Is not by what you see. It's not by what you feel. It is by what he said, and what he said never changes. What he said in his word never changes. So you have a choice. The word comes. It says here, those that call on the Lord, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. But you have a choice on whether you're going to call. People have a choice of whether they're going to get born again. They hear the word of God. You'd think nobody, surely nobody would reject Jesus if they heard it. People do it all the time. See, it's not just ignorance of the word. There is a choice involved. I'm not going to get into this, but it's not just people are ignorant of the word, and if everybody knew how much God loved them, they would automatically obey him. That's not true. That's not true. People reject God all the time. You think Judas knew? No, he rejected God. He rejected Jesus. See, there is a will involved. There is your will and my will. We have a choice. People will reject Jesus, know they're going to hell, and not care. You say, how could anybody do something like that? Was the Bible true or not? You can reject him. You can have known him and reject him. Very few people are going to do that, but people do it, and they don't care. They're going to hell and they know it. They don't care. That's how you would know you're completely lost. If you ever have, to just clear this up, if you ever have the thought, people will think, well, I don't know, you know, have I committed the unpardonable sin? If you're even thinking that and you're worrying about it, you haven't. Because if you did, you wouldn't care. Your conscience is seared. You don't care anymore. You've thrown it away. You're done. But people, we all have a choice. So this is good news, because in the middle of a trial, of a challenge, you have a choice on whether you're going to believe him and call on him or not. And you can choose to call on him and believe his word in spite of anything else. And you don't have to wait for a feeling. The feeling will come after you decide to believe him. His word's true, regardless of what we feel. So this says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's what faith, true faith, is based on. Now, we turned over to John last week. Let's go back over there. You can hold your finger in Romans. We're going to go back there, I believe. But Thomas, if you go to John 20, we'll go to 24, John 20, 24. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus had appeared to the disciples. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I can't. Just can't believe. No. Will not. I will not. What does that mean? He chooses not to. Could he have? Could he have said, oh, praise God, he was here? Jesus was here? Oh, I can't wait till he comes back. He could have, right? But what'd he do? I'm not going to believe unless I see it. Unless I can put my fingers in the print of his hands, put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. I will not believe it. I won't. I think Thomas had heard anything about, heard Jesus preach. Well, surely he just automatically would believe then, right? Because if you have enough in you, you're just going to automatically believe, right? No. No. We have to choose to believe. And this is really good news. Because you can choose to say, I'm going to believe God, and it looks like there's no reason you should believe God. Well, what's the reason you're going to believe God? Real faith is based on he said something. What you have in front of you does not change what he said. Let's keep going. Verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Just notice, if you read the Bible and take the Bible literally, you know, places where it's meant to take literally, there are places where it, you know, it's flowery language, but this is not one of those times. When it says the door was shut and he came in the midst of them, it's not figurative. Okay, there's a place where the Bible is meant to take literal. You know, you got to just twist it to say, well, this is actually an allegory. No, it's meant to be taken just like it says. We may not understand everything. You may not be explain it, but I've come to one thing. If God said it, it's true. Right. We'll figure it. We'll find out why it's true. All the pieces are going to come together. Yes, but just because you don't understand it, just because people can't explain it, what does that mean? People can't explain it, so it must not be true? Well, what all the stuff we couldn't explain 150 years ago that we, you know, can to some degree explain? I don't know everything. Does that mean they weren't true? No, of course it doesn't. Well, God, don't you think God knows more than we do? You know, some people say, well, that's impossible. Well, I choose to believe the Bible. If it said the doors were shut and all of a sudden Jesus appeared to him, I believe it. How about you? I choose to believe that's exactly what happened. You say, how did that happen? I don't need to know how his new body worked because I'm going to get one of those. Amen. And it evidently it can go right through stuff. Well, that's impossible. Says who? The Word of God says it. If you just get into faith mode, if we just get to where we're believing him, all things are possible that to him who believes. Amen. You just start taking things off. Well, that's impossible. People, they said that can't be done. Well, as long as you're looking at the natural, there are all kinds of things that are impossible. But, you know, impossible is actually a relative term. Because people say things are impossible all the time. They're not really impossible. Maybe impossible with what you know. There are things that are pretty much impossible to me with my current knowledge and ability and skill. That does not mean they are impossible for everybody even on the earth. In other words, there are people that can do things I can't do. How about you? Yeah. Should we just say, well, it's impossible because I can't do it? Well, that would be arrogance. If I can't do it, it's impossible. And if I don't know about it, if we don't know about it, it's impossible. No, we know the God of the impossible. He can do things we may not know how, but he can do them. And if we slip into, wait a minute, I'm not going by everything I see. This stuff was all created anyway. I am going to go by what he said. Now I've tapped into something beyond my understanding, beyond what I can see, beyond my feelings, because if he said it, he knows things I don't know. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to know he said it. And if I know he said it, now I can tap into all kinds of things that are impossible to men. But with him, nothing is impossible. Things that are impossible with God or with men are possible with him. That's good news. So, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Notice what he said to him. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Well, if he didn't have a choice. See, God, Jesus was there, and he saw something, but he said, don't be unbelieving, be believing. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, self, don't be unbelieving, be believing. Sometimes you have to tell yourself this. You just have to take yourself by the ear and say, self, shut up. Quit talking unbelief and start believing. Amen. Did you know, guys, there is no special anointing to do the word. Did you know that? That's not a trick question. I'm serious because people think certain people, they'll put them on pedestals. Anybody you know that's on the earth, I don't care who they are, they have no special anointing to do the word. There are anointings to preach the word. That's different than doing it. I don't have any special anointing to do it. When I come off this, get off the pulpit, or get away from the pulpit, get off the stage, go home, I have to do the word just like you do. And we have to make the choice. Are we going to do the word? What are we going to base our lives on? We're going to base it on the word or how we feel? If I went by feelings, and I don't live perfectly, but if I went by feelings, there'd be times I would not come to church. I would not get up. I wouldn't come here. I wouldn't, if I was just going by my feelings, I just wouldn't do it. But I got to take myself by the ear and say, self, shut up. What's that going to look like if the pastor doesn't show up? I'm just being honest with you. Now, there's no special thing on my life to say, I mean, there's a grace, don't misunderstand me, there's a grace to do what God has called us to do, but you have to, we have to cooperate with it. You can choose not to. The grace of God is there, the enablement is there, and you can say no, because you don't feel like it. I don't feel like it's true right now. Well, even though the grace of Almighty God, the strength is there, you have to choose to act on it. You can hear the word and reject it and say, I don't believe it. I don't feel like it. Well, we can do that with any area. Jesus is here to Thomas, one of the disciples, and he said, don't be unbelieving, be believing. Well, he has a choice. It is not automatic. You guys listening? It's not automatic. This is good news, because if you think somebody has something that you don't, well, that's like you automatically think you're at a disadvantage. Well, if I was like them, then I could do it. That's wrong thinking. But if you realize, wait a minute, I have to just decide to do the word, and it's the same for everybody. Yeah, it's the same for everybody. That's good news. To me, that's good news. Because we can all act on the word. It's just whether we're going to choose to. And we can all choose to. We can all choose to say, forget it, and go sit and watch TV and feel sorry for ourselves too. That's an option. You didn't have to be here tonight, did you? No. You didn't have to be here. You could have said, you know what, I just don't feel like it. Click, put your feet up, get pizza and ice cream, and just, that's what I'm doing tonight. Huh? You could. That was an option. Wasn't that an option? That was an option. You could have done, maybe you didn't like pizza. Maybe you want to get something else. Fried chicken. I don't know. What, tofu? I don't know. Whatever you like. Wings, whatever. Maybe you don't like ice cream. You get a pie, or I don't know. Whatever you like. You don't have to go watch TV. Maybe you want to go bowling. There are a whole lot of people doing all kinds of stuff. And those were all options. You could have done whatever. You could have gone and watched a movie marathon. Did anybody make you come? Well, you know what? Nobody makes you believe the word either. And nobody can make you not believe the word. Say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, tell your feelings to shut up. I'm not making light of feelings. I have feelings. You have feelings. Pain can be real. Symptoms can be real. But we got to exalt something above it. Here you got a disciple that his fellow disciples that have walked with Jesus come in and tell him the master was here, and he said, I don't believe it. He could have said, I believe it. Nobody twisted his arm. So how does faith come? It comes by hearing the word. But you don't have to act on it. It can come and you say, no. No. I don't believe it. I'm not going to act on it. I don't feel like it. Forget it. That's rebellion. But, hey, we've all done it. We don't have to do it going forward. But we've all done it. And it doesn't get you anywhere. No, we're good. So he said, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Yeah. Say something like that. I'm stupid. I didn't believe. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So this is showing, this is just natural human faith. This is somebody that is just walking by sight. You've done it. I've done it. You have the pressure of life coming at you. You have symptoms coming at you. And it looks real because it is real. And it feels like it won't change. But the good news is it's subject to change. If you see it and feel it and it's in this world, it can change. So why not believe that it's going to change? Like God said, instead of believing it can't change. We know it can change. Go over to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, I'm talking about Abraham now, contrasting Abraham and Thomas. We'll go to verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith, the promise, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. See, God told Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations, when he did not have any offspring. He said, I have made you. Past tense, I have made you. Now, if you're going by sight, you're going to say something's wrong. Wait a minute. You're telling me that I am the father of many nations and I don't have a child? How's that? Huh? How's that? What? Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, whom Abraham believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You could preach half a year on these verses of Scripture right here, but God who gives life to the dead. So if something looks dead in the natural, is it beyond repair? Nope. God can fix it. That's what he does. He gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believes so that he became the father of many nations. See, contrary to what would be expected, in expectation, he believed. See, he chose to believe God. He chose to believe what God said. He chose to do the word. And then he became what God said he had already made him, that is, the father of many nations. Verse 18, who contrary to hope and hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. What did Abraham's faith go back to? What was spoken? Why did he believe that he would be the father of many nations? Just because he woke up and he just thought, you know what, I want a kid, I want to have lots of children. I mean, I want lots of offspring. No, it's because God told him something. Now, Abraham was not made to believe? Nobody made. You see, we think of these people in the Bible incorrectly a lot of times. We think of them as almost they're not human, like they had a destiny that they didn't have anything to do with. They were predestined. That's not true. They were just like you. They were like me. If Abraham would not have listened to God, you would not be reading about Abraham. God would have used somebody else, but it wouldn't have been Abraham. Could have been another guy named Abraham. I don't know, but it wouldn't have been this Abraham. It wasn't automatic. See, if you think it's automatic, then you think he has something you don't have, and he could believe God because he was specifically just graced to believe God, and that was why, but you know, God basically favored him. Well, the only thing God is favoring is that he believed God. He knew. It says about that he would believe him. God knew that Abraham would believe him because God does know some things. And he told him, you know, get out of the land where he was, and he listened, and he's told him, I've made you a father of many nations. And Abraham believed him, but he had a choice. I said he had a choice. We have a choice. We can choose to believe what God has told us through His Word and through us by His Spirit, through us to us personally, but we have a choice. It's not automatic. God's will in your life is not automatic. Even if you had a word given to you, it's not automatic it's going to come to pass. You have to do something. You have to believe. And you have to do what God told you to do. And the word that God has given to us in His written word, which is the highest word, the highest authority, it's not automatic. People say, why just doesn't happen? Why doesn't God just do it? He can't just do it. If He could just do things and just get it all done, why He just wrapped this thing up? Why are we waiting to go to heaven? Everybody that's going to be saved, let's just get them saved and let's get out of here. If He can just act independent of man's will, why doesn't He just do it in that situation? But we want Him to act independently in our will in certain situations. Why don't you just do it, God? And what are you waiting for? You know what He's waiting for? Us to choose to believe Him. Because not because it's some cosmic game where He's like, well, let's see what you can do, and then I'll move because, you know, I just want to see all you people just dance for me. No. It's not like that. He can't move unless you move. It's illegal for Him to move. He can't come in and just do everything for you when He's not doing it for others. What's going to differentiate? You enabled Him because you chose to believe. You chose to believe His word when you don't have anything to see that would tell you. That's faith. Faith is based on what He said, not on anything that you can feel. So look at verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. This is what I wanted to get to. See, he wasn't weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider his body. He didn't look at the symptoms. He didn't look at the fact that he's an old man. He didn't look at it. Because if he did, he'd be like, what are you? You're not going to have a kid? I don't know what you thought you heard. Something you ate was just, you know, not agreeing with you, and you thought you saw and heard something, but that was not God, because look at your body, man. You can't have a baby. You're not going to be able to father a baby. Your wife, she couldn't have a baby when she was young. She's not going to have a baby now. If he was considering his body, he would say, give it up. And if you're going to consider your body or your circumstances, you may be saying, give it up. But that there's a reason why Abraham's in this book. Because in spite of the fact that if he's going by sight, he's done, he said, I believe God. I'm not considering this. I'm not going to look at what I see. I see past this. What is he believing? He believes what God told him. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. See, he was convinced. If God said it, I don't have to understand it. If he said it, he knows something I don't know, he can do it. But I want you to notice, he did not consider his body. If you're going to walk by faith, you cannot go by what you are feeling. You're going to have to go back to what the Word says. See, Thomas was going by his senses. He said, I don't see it. I didn't see Jesus come. If once I see it, then I'll believe. You know, that's where a lot of people are. They say, well, once I feel my body get better, then I'll believe. You're already in, you're walking by sight. Did you hear me? You already missed it. You're already off. You're waiting. If you're waiting to see your body improve, you're already done. You're not in faith. Because tell me again, where does faith come from? How does it come? It comes by the Word. Did the Word change? Is the Word going to change when you feel better? It's not. That's Thomas. That's the way Thomas acted. He said, I don't see anything, so therefore I don't believe anything. And if you're going to say, I don't see my body getting better, so I'll believe when I see. That's wrong. That's backwards. That's not going to work. That's the way Thomas operated. But notice Abraham was different. He did not consider his body. See, where Thomas, that's exactly what he's considering. He said, I don't see Jesus, therefore I don't believe. Abraham said, I don't see any baby. Don't see how it could happen. But what I am looking at is God's word. I'm not going to consider the natural. I am going to consider him, his word. You see, it's completely opposite. One doesn't consider the believing. They don't consider the word. Thomas did not believe the people he's walked with. He could have acted on the word. He could have acted on what the disciples said and said, Jesus, I believe that he was here. But he didn't. He looked at the natural. Abraham could have looked at the natural and given up, but he looked at what God said and he said, if God said it, I believe it. I believe it. This will change things for you. If you say, I believe what the Bible says, regardless of what I see, I feel, I hear, I believe what the Bible says. And if you'll just quote what the Bible says, say what the Bible says in spite of it, regardless of circumstances, symptoms, or anything else, that's what brings the answer. But natural faith, natural human faith wants to, they don't want to act, it doesn't want to act like that. It wants to see. It wants to feel. And then it says, I'll believe. But this is exactly what Thomas did. And Jesus rebuked him. Jesus said, why? You believe because you saw. Blessed are those that haven't seen, yet they believe. Well, that's the way we operate today. That's the way we need to operate according to the word. I'll just read you an account from Brother Hagin. You know, Brother Hagin was healed of a heart condition, among other things. But, you know, he tells the stories. He had different symptoms come back throughout his life. Different things. He would wake up and he would have symptoms. And he had to stand against them. You know, people get this wrong idea. Well, Brother Hagin, you know, he's just special. And he got healed when he was early on. So then he was just set. Never had to deal with anything. That's not true. We went over earlier how when he started working, he had to believe for strength every day because his body's weak. He wasn't, you know, he may have been healed, but he's weak. He's withered away because he hasn't been using anything. So he goes out and he's working, pulling up peach trees. Well, he had to believe for strength. See, people don't get that. He had to choose every day. You think he felt like getting up in the morning when it was still dark and going out and working in a field to pull up peach trees? He did not feel like it. And he had to choose to believe that God was going to give him strength. Well, he had different times he would have symptoms. And he didn't just say, well, I was healed, so never mind. He had to stand against them. He could have easily said, well, I guess I really wasn't healed. But he didn't do that. This is what Abraham did. Abraham could have said, well, I'm not going to have a baby. No, he wasn't looking at the wrong thing. He was looking at the right thing, which was Jesus, which we'll get to. But Brother Hagin says, I remember quite a few years ago I was struggling along some of the same lines that many people do today in the area of healing. See, same thing. I could tell you stories. The same thing. We deal with the same stuff. The good news is God's word will work for anybody. There's nobody special on the earth. Just because you heard a testimony of somebody, well, I just wish that would happen to me. No, we have to choose to believe it. It says, even after I was healed, notice, I had some of the most alarming heart symptoms that seemed to return to me. In the nighttime, I would have some terrible struggles. So I did what Abraham did. I had been praying and standing on the promises of God, but I could not get off to sleep. Finally, I said to the Lord, Lord, I must have some relief. God spoke to me, consider not thine own body. See, like Abraham said, or it says about Abraham, Abraham considered not. He did not consider his body already dead. That's what God told Brother Hagin. Consider not thine own body. So he said, so I just relaxed and said, thank you. took my mind off my body and drifted back to sleep. Later that same night, I woke up again and had some of the same symptoms. Gosh, I guess it's not working. It's not working. God, why aren't you doing something? It's not what he said. He said, Lord, I'm not considering my body. What am I going to consider then? The Lord said, consider him who is the author and finisher of your faith and your high priest. It's in Hebrews 3:1 and 12:2. God tells us in his word exactly what not to consider, and he tells us what to consider. We could say it this way: God tells us in his word exactly what not to consider, and then tells us whom to consider, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Immediately I got my mind on Jesus and began to consider him and what he had done for us. The Bible says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. I began to consider that scripture and to focus my mind and attention on Jesus and the Word. Just giving you an example here. And stopped considering my body with its symptoms. Then I was able to drift off to sleep. When I woke up, every symptom had gone. See, too many times we get our attention focused on the wrong thing, don't we? It's easy to focus on the problem. In fact, you don't have to do anything to focus on the problem. Just let your mind go and it will focus on the problem. That didn't take any discipline whatsoever. See, when it comes to healing, we consider our own bodies and symptoms that try to attack our bodies. That is what we are thinking about, looking at, and the more we look at the symptoms, the worse we get. The more we look at those symptoms. The people say, God hasn't heard my prayer yet, and I'm getting worse. I guess I'll wind up being operated on, or I'll wind up going blind, or I'll wind up going deaf, or whatever people say. And you will as long as you travel on that road of unbelief. See, what we believe, if we believe it, there's this account, this one guy, Brother Hagin says he was at this one church, and every time at the end of a testimony or something, this lady would get up and say, you pray for me, I believe I've got cancer. She would just tell everybody that. Will you all pray for me? I believe I've got cancer. And he said the pastor finally got tired of it and said, yeah, you keep saying that, sister, and you're going to get it. Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. But that's true. See, we need to take our attention off our bodies. I didn't say it was easy. Or your symptoms. We're talking, you know, primarily about healing, but this works in any area. You know, whatever the situation is, Abraham had to consider not his body, but then he looked at the promise of God. It's the easiest thing in the world to focus on your symptoms. I've had situations in my life where, you know, it's just there. Something's there, you get up, it's there. It's easy to focus on it. And start looking at it. And the worse it gets when you look at it. But you know, I've seen that happen. You get your mind off that. You start looking at Jesus. You start believing what he said. Now. You say, well, I'll do that. I'll be happy once this gets out. I can't be happy right now. Yes, you can. I can't focus. I didn't say it was easy. But people have done it. Through pain, through symptoms that are alarming, through symptoms that are clouding everything, and yet there have been testimonies of people looking through all that and looking past it to Jesus and looking at what Jesus has done and not considering any of this and receiving healing. Past. Don't consider what you see, what you feel. We don't consider that. What are we going to consider? We're going to consider Jesus. We're going to consider what he said. You just keep saying what he said and what he said and what he said. And your body will scream at you and tell you, yeah, but look at this. And we have to say, no, I'm not considering that. I'm considering him. He said whatever it is you're believing for. You need to find a scripture. You don't go but based on what I said or anybody else that you heard a recording and say, well, so-and-so said it. It ought to work. That will not work for you because the devil doesn't care what I said or what somebody else said. He only responds to the word. You need to know your legal authority, and we need to know what God's word says, and then we need to look at that and stay there and say, this is what I'm gonna look at what God's word says. And like I said before, you may have to just take yourself by the ear and say, shut up, self. You're going to look at God's word. You're not going to look at the symptoms. I remember I had this thing going on. This has been years ago. Nope, I gotta quit. I'll tell you this real quick. But I, you know, there was certain symptoms in my body, and boy, the more I focused on it, the worse it got. The worse it got. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? And but I remember I was like, it was actually at night, one night, I was driving, and I was like, wait a minute. I just got my mind on the right thing, quit being anxious about it, quit looking at it, and just looked past it and said, you know what, I'm not even going to look at it anymore. Nope, God's word's true, and I looked back on it, and that thing just dissipated. Just was already different the next day, and then it was gone within a little bit. But it was actually something that I was compounding myself. You can make stuff worse by just getting anxious about it. By you looking at it. On the other hand, if you look at him and focus on him, other stuff fades in the background. And that's where the strength is, and that's where the healing is when you let him do what he said he would do. Consider not the symptoms, consider not the circumstances, and consider what he said. And consider Jesus. Amen.